Welcome in to Saturday's edition of Riddle and the Reporter. Junie Riddle, Nick Keyser, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. You can also watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Download their app and use promo code THEGAME today. Good morning, fellas. We got a lot of stuff going on. We also got Connor Newt. Didn't scare him away after last week of his first show, replacing Nick Frazier on Saturdays. But we're also going to have Nick Frazier coming back today because Nashville SC has the League Cup final after beating Monterey this past Tuesday. They are going to take on Inter Miami and Lionel Messi. We are going to get into that at 9:30 and 9:45 with Nick Frazier to talk about that matchup. We're also going to get into a little bit of college football later, talking Tennessee and Vanderbilt as college football kicks off week zero a week from today. Football will be played in the Music City as Hawaii comes to play the Vanderbilt Commodore, so we will talk about that as well. Tennessee Titans also have their preseason game tonight against the Minnesota Vikings, who they had joint practices with all this week, and we will begin with that. But first, about two times a year, we do a trivia night at Boomba's in East Nashville. Love the guys out there at Boomba's in East Nashville to benefit Stars of Nashville, which goes and helps young people basically kind of get on the right path and make sure they're staying in school and staying away from drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. Great people over there at Stars. So I had to work for promotional reasons.
Or you were just there to take it all in?
No. Our promotional director, Cliff McCardle, was out on vacation, and he needed me to go out there and step up and, get things decorated, do some social media and stuff.
Step up and have some trivia questions answered.
But what I didn't know was that you and Frazier were going to show up for this,
yep,
and then
I
somehow got sucked into your team, and we really got into trivia. Well, guess what? We had a team, and our trivia team sucked. And I will take a brunt of the blame, because not only did we suck, but we finished in last place. And this is how embarrassing that this gets. All right, so I'm gonna bring it into the camera view here. Here's our trophy that we won for benefiting Stars of Nashville Trivia Night, and it says, if you can't see it, the winning isn't everything trophy, because we finished in last place. And not only did we finish in last place, but at the very last question, you can either go all in, double or nothing with your points. And we felt like we had the right answer.
We really were talking
smack and everything.
We had the complete answer, but we had the wrong movie in our heads for the answer. It's okay. Look.
Well, you got to tell them which movie it was.
All right. So the question itself was, what was the dog's name that chased Benny the Jet Rodriguez in Sandlot? And we had thought it was Goliath. Well, it's not Goliath. Goliath was the second Sandlot. And so Hercules was the first true dog in the first movie that chased Benny the Jet Rodriguez. So we gambled all of our points, and it went kaput really fast.
I mean, we were talking smack to Caroline Fenton because she had no idea. I think she thought the dog's name was the Grand Bambino after Babe Ruth, which, again, I mean, I'd say our answer was a little bit better than Caroline's there. But, you know, Caroline's team did lay a bit of whooping on our team. So props to Caroline Fenton and her team for kind of showing us up. And we were talking smack because we thought we were going to be in contention there at the end. But, yeah, we finished with
it. It was a close race, really. I mean, the whole standings, we were only, 15 points away from cracking the top three, basically. So had we gambled all of our points, we would have been somewhere in the top five. But needless to say, it was a fun night with Stars. Glad to go out there and go do trivia. It was the second time around for me going out there for Stars with Willie's wife, Erin.
Shout out to the Donics.
Yes.
I mean, Willie and his wife, Erin, they do a great job with Stars of Nashville. It's a great cause, and they really do put on. And Willie, excellent host. It was a great time, a lot of fun. So if you do you know, hear about us doing this again, you definitely got to sign up and go. It's
always
all for a good cause. All
as
for a
always.
Good cause. But we have some important pressing matters to get into. The Tennessee Titans went up to Minnesota and had joint practices against the Minnesota Vikings. And I feel like a lot of things happened and a lot of takeaways. And the biggest story of the week was when Treylon Burks caught a touchdown pass. I mean, he basically ran a nine route, you know, just a straight fly up the field, and Tannehill threw him a perfect ball in stride, and he caught it, and he started stumbling a bit into the end zone, but he scored, but he got up hobbling and had to get carted off. Now, we later found out that it was a sprained LCL injury, and it's going to be, you know, a couple weeks to recover, but there for a bit, everybody was in a state of shock and very scared, because losing a guy like that would have really dampened this offense and our expectations of the Tennessee Titans this season. So what was your reaction when you heard that he went down in practice?
Not going to lie, when it happened, I had just taken a nap, and I woke up and saw that this is what happened. And then the very next tweet I saw after that it was reported that he had been injured was a doctor saying, like, here's what this is, here's what that is. But so off of my own experience, seeing Treylon go through that and the movement at first, I was like, well, this could be literally anything. This could be a sprain. This could be a tear of some sort. This could be something with his knee giving out. And little did I know, too, Junie, that scrolling a little farther down, I had found out that not only is this an injury that is scary, but he has had a torn ACL before when he played at Arkansas. So it was early on in his career in college, but it was still scary because it's at practice. And so I immediately thought, not that the season would be over necessarily on offense, it would be a lot worse for sure, but initially it was just a scary moment. It was not fun. Everybody was left, you know, holding their breath for the next couple of hours. And then I want to say around 5 or 6 o'clock, it was Ian Rappaport came out and said, hey, this is a sprained LCL. And so doctors were on Twitter once again, or X, whatever the hell you want to call it now. And they kept saying, hey, so this is what the sprain is. This is how long he could possibly be out for. So it's looking like he's questionable for week one, but we'll see what he turns into in terms of recovery prior to week one. But not good for him overall, but I'm hopeful that he's able to come back and not be, you know, so worried about, you know, running himself and what have you, because those injuries can leave you mentally wondering, am I going to be okay? So,
well, you know, what came to mind for me was how I felt about the Titans pre DeAndre Hopkins. And part of the reason I was really kind of down early on this team in the offseason was because I felt wide receiver and the offensive line were a huge concern. And I just didn't think simply that this team could game in and game out just rely on their defense to win games. Of course they were going to get some with how good this defense is, but I felt like where the receiving core was, that everybody was a level up from where they were.
Absolutely.
And with Treylon Burks in that scare that we had on Wednesday's practice, I was like, okay, now we're back to square one.
Because yeah,
now guys are going to be elevated into positions that, grantly, that they shouldn't be in. And that makes wide receiver concern again. So great news for the Tennessee Titans that Treylon Burks is going to be okay. Also got to talk about the quarterbacks and what we saw. I was filling in for Chase McCabe on Monday and Tuesday while he was out at the manager's meeting.
A fine job.
Appreciate that. And the one thing that I said was I really felt like the Titans should win these matchups, both are the Titans' offense against Minnesota's defense and Minnesota's offense against the Titans' defense, because Minnesota's defense is not that good. They lost a couple pieces. I think they're going to take a major step back from last year on that side of the ball, and I felt like with where the Titans were going and how they were kind of accelerating, they should win. And I feel like it was very close. It was very back and forth. But looking at Jim Wyatt's article that he wrote after the Thursday practice, Tannehill went 37 of 51 in 2 days combined. So really good from Tannehill. Malik Willis also had a pretty solid outing. The first day was his better day. He went 13 of 14 on Wednesday, but only 6 of 12 on Thursday, which leads to 19 of 26 for the 2 days combined. So Malik Willis had one really good day, one kind of okay-ish day. And then Will Levis had some solid outings as well with the third team reps, but he went down with an injury, and he is still questionable to play today in today's preseason game. So that's going to be something to look out for as, you know, we're getting closer to game time on whether or not he's going to play, because if not, it might just be the Malik Willis show the entire game.
And I don't have a problem with that. Now, I've seen some people say, why not play Tannehill? Why not give him some reps? Well, look, there's a very solid chance that he could play. I don't know necessarily. Now, would I want him to play a few snaps? Sure. But, like, I don't want him in there the entirety of the game. I would be completely fine if Malik had this opportunity to play the entire game. And the way that they sounded, and they meaning Vrabel and the coordinators and some of the players, they kind of made it sound like Malik is going to get his opportunity to play the entire game. So I'm very curious to see what it looks like. It's not guaranteed whatsoever.
Yeah.
But he's going to get the bulk of the snaps and the reps for sure in this game.
I will say this. I'm not necessarily for guys playing, you know, especially when, you know, he's in the lead to be the backup quarterback.
Right.
And we saw what happened to Tannehill last year. I know Tannehill doesn't have a huge injury history when it comes to his years here in Tennessee, but he does, you know, back in his Miami days. So the history is there with Ryan Tannehill. So playing Willis when Levis is already down a whole preseason game, I don't really like that. And I also do feel that starters should get, you know, some time and reps in the preseason. I truly believe that. I believe it builds a little bit of callus going into the season. You take a couple hits before week one. I think it's needed. And we're looking around the league. I mean, Josh Allen in the starters for the Bills are playing today against the Steelers. The Steelers are playing their starters as well. Last night we saw Desmond Ridder and Daniel Jones play and Bryce Young play, and I know he's a rookie, but you know, a lot of teams, even Patrick Mahomes played last Sunday for the Kansas City Chiefs. So we're seeing a lot of guys play. So it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, you know, why the Titans starters cannot get in there and at least do a series.
Right.
I mean, that's all I want to see. I want to see them at least go out there, take a hit, do a series, and see how they look and gel. So that's just me personally. I would rather see, you know, especially if Levis doesn't play, at least see Tannehill get out there for one or two drives.
Yeah, and I'd like to hear the merit from Patrick Mahomes and maybe Josh Allen as to why they've played as many snaps as they have during the preseason. And we've seen not just them, but we've seen some other bigger names in the NFL play in the preseason this year. And it's been interesting to see that for sure. And we'll have to keep some eyes on, you know, who's playing, who's not. But will Ryan Tannehill play today? That's a great question. Is it the most pressing question? No. I'd like to see how Malik does the entirety of the entire game. So we'll see what he does, Junie, and hopefully it looks a lot better than what he did in Kansas City last year.
Definitely agree with that. But coming up next, we started off talking about the offense, some of the big headlines that came out of joint practice with the Minnesota Vikings. Coming up next, the defensive side of the ball had a really good showing. We're going to talk about a couple players that had some standout performances. And is this defense going to be really elite this year? Nick Kieser and I discuss next. You're listening to Real and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
I thought they did a great job. You know, they were number one against the run last year for a reason. And I thought they did a nice job in man coverage. So I thought it was a tough test for us and great work for them.
That was Kirk Cousins talking about the Tennessee Titans defense, and boy, did they give him some fits in joint practice. But before we get into that, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 5:05 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights, AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. But the Titans and that defense had a great day on that first day against the Minnesota Vikings. I think Minnesota came out on Thursday, and they showed up a little bit better, but you could still tell that the Titans defense, I would say overall, won the day on Thursday and just dominated on Wednesday. And a couple guys in particular stood out for me, Kieser, and one of them was my preseason X-Factor player.
Yes, he was.
And that would be Christian Fulton.
Yeah.
Christian Fulton stepped up to the plate this
week. He really did. And that one-handed grab that he had on Kirk as well. So, and it was a toe touch, too. It was a beautiful Beautiful pick.
Speaking of which, TD highlighted something about that, talking about how wonderful the Vikings facility was for mm-hmm. one, mm-hmm. and how they had stands filled with fans.
They did.
Just
I saw that
practice. And it's crazy how, like, you know, they aren't allowed, the media members aren't allowed to
but
film.
But the fans are.
But the fans are, and so they have to go and, like, search through these videos.
I would low-key be encouraging them to take videos. Now,
I'd be walking up like, hey, who got that? Hey, send that to me. DM.
Right. Or at least throw it out there, because a lot of them were, quote, tweeting videos and photos, whatever they could get their hands on. And so it was fun to keep track of practice that way, because, I mean, sometimes the fans can do a really good job. And so they did in this case. And so it was fun. And, yes, I was excited to see some of the facility, because when Kirk was on quarterback, you know, we got to see some of the entire place. But I would say just going through what they did there at practice this week, I'm encouraged by it. There were some conflicting reports, too, about, well, the Titans' defense wasn't great or their offense wasn't good. And I'm like, how about we just hear it from the players themselves?
Yeah.
And, I mean, hearing Kirk coming back from break, that's more pivotal of a conversation starter for me in terms of where we need to go. So Kirk saying that they were number one in, you know, defending the defense last year, that was obviously evident. But at the same time, the individuals, a Christian Fulton played really well. Obviously, Treylon Burks, he gets hurt. But at the same time as well, one other player for me that I was more curious about was Will Levis. We didn't hear very much about him, and he did leave practice. I'd like to know how and when he got hurt. I'd love to know, but we don't know that yet. I know it's his foot, apparently, but Malik is going to be playing this game, and for a good reason, but I would like to know a little bit more about that. And obviously, Will had a lingering foot injury toward the end of last year. Don't know if it's the same foot or not. I think it could be, but I'm very curious to see what stands out.
I think the way that they phrased it, it doesn't seem like it's going to be too serious.
No.
I mean, he may sit out this game, you know, for precaution reasons, but they have a whole nother set of joint practice against,
right,
you know, the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. But when I was filling in for Chase earlier this week, I noted that these two joint practices mean something.
Mm.
And I feel the litmus test for the defense was this past week against the Vikings, because the Vikings have a really good offense to test this defense and where they are. And I felt like the defense passed with flourishing colors from what I heard from Jared Stillman, TD, Paul Kaharski, guys like that. I felt like I got the gist that the defense really kind of seized the moment. Another guy that stood out on defense for me had to be Tyre Tart.
I saw
videos of him just, whoa, manhandling the interior of
that
the Minnesota
center
offensive line.
That he went over, oh my Lord, he went right over that man. He had just a one arm, like, whoosh, like, just gone. Like, he just threw him way over.
Tyre Tart is, I feel like he's one of the most interesting players on this team, because obviously they signed him to a second round tender. He's on a 1 year, like, four-something million-dollar deal for this year. But he'll be a free agent again. But I just have the feeling with the way this guy came on last year and what he has shown in training camp this year, I think he is going to get paid this offseason. And they're really going to try and keep this defensive front, because, I mean, that's what the Vikings were really talking about. And that's what TD and Jared were saying when they asked some of the Minnesota reporters about, hey, what do you think of the Titans? Like,
right,
are you kind of surprised? And they just said, this D-line is so underrated and nobody's talking about it,
about
how good they are. Because these guys aren't household names.
Mm-mm.
But they come out, they're physical, and they produce.
He was awesome. And so to be more specific on the tender that he got, it was a 2-year, $1.39 million deal with the Titans, and it was an annual salary of $600,000. But this year, Tart will be earning a base salary of $4 million and a cap hit of 4.3 overall. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does end up getting in terms of his next deal, Junie. But at the same point in time, it is impressive that they can develop talent like this. You know, he was not someone that anyone had on their radar whatsoever. It's unique to see that the coaches, the defense, you know, that speaks more volumes to a guy like Terrell Williams, who works with some of these guys.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's wonderful to see that there's this kind of progression not only with their more sexy positions, but also in between the lines, the trenches, wherever you want to go with it. It's a wonderful sight to see from the joint practices, a few guys individually, but then in this game and in these first few weeks, it's going to be, all right, how can you execute here? Show us what you got.
615-737-1025. What did you hear coming out of joint practice with the Minnesota Vikings? We want to hear your opinion as well. Guys that stood out, things that you read, videos you saw circling through social media. We want to hear about that. But, you know, Jeffrey Simmons obviously looking good in joint practice as well. But somebody else that has come on with this defense, and this was one of the biggest question marks for me when it came to this defense and what they were kind of lacking from last year. I wanted this team to bring David Long Jr. back. I felt like, and I still feel like that inside linebacker in today's game is a highly underrated position. It used to be one of the more valued positions on the defensive side of the ball, but nowadays these guys have to do a lot. And I felt like with the versatility that David Long Jr. brought, that was going to be a huge hole for this team. Because you brought in Azeez Al-Shaair, and he wasn't a full-time starter with San Francisco last year. He was more of a rotational linebacker. But things that I have heard about him is that he's going to be a genuine guy all over the field.
It's going to be a night and day difference, some of the situations that the new signees are going to be in, and just in terms of the free agents. And so, you know, that's kind of something that we've seen in a theme with, you know, Nashville sports, whether it's NSC, whether it's the Titans, whether it's the Preds. You've got all the free agents that are attractive to the teams themselves. But then outside of that, it's like, well, we didn't really think that they had as much value. And Nashville sports has done a good job of transitioning them into a bigger spotlight, Junie. And I think it's going to be fun to see what else that can look like for the Two-Tone Blue as they continue to get ready for the season. And so Tierre Tart's one example. Christian Fulton is another. We need him to step up as well. I think it's funny to see that this 2019 draft class has really grown up. And so now they're going to have this opportunity to step up really big here in the next few weeks.
So I poised this question before we have to go to break. Do you think this Titans team is elite? And when I say elite, I mean
overall?
I mean, not overall. I should say the defensive unit in particular.
Okay.
Do you think that this Titans team is a top five unit in the league with what they've had and what they've shown so far? Do you think that they can be that?
I think I'd love to do more evaluating, but if I have to answer this today, I could confidently say yes. I still want to see a little bit more from them in terms of what they can do, in terms of whether forcing turnovers or, you know, picking up on plays, or if it's taking down some other team's superstars or limiting them to only a few shorter yards than what they usually get. So I don't know how big of a deal it's going to be for them to step up in preseason necessarily, Junie. I do think they are elite, don't get me wrong, but I want to take a few more weeks to evaluate them. But the additions that they have, in my opinion, they are strengthening them. But then in the same breath, I want to go, I still want to see more from them in terms of how do they all mesh corporately, and how do they go out there on the field and make the biggest difference and win games for this team.
I think this team, when healthy, will be a top five unit.
Yeah, and for sure.
That's the one thing that I always pose with the Titans is if they're healthy. And health has been a major concern, because the one issue that is going to loom over this team all season long is the lack of depth.
Yep.
And injuries could really derail the season if they get out of line. What my hope is for the Tennessee Titans is that because of the last 2 years leading the NFL in injury, that, you know, some karma kind of comes back, and maybe they're one of the more healthier teams this year. I don't know. But when this starting group was out there together, it was some of the best defense I had seen all last year in the beginning of the year. And I think that they have gotten maybe a little bit better. And if Christian Fulton is playing like a true number one corner, like he's kind of been showing and been hinting in this training camp, then watch out in the beginning of the year, because this Tennessee Titans defense is going to come full ablaze. But join 102.5 and 106.3 The Game at Door Jam today, celebrating Vanderbilt sports at the David Williams Recreation Center. The fun kicks off at 2 p.m. and will include autograph sessions, photo booths, and lawn games. Head out there to support Vanderbilt athletics as fall sports return next week. You are listening to Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back into Riddle and the Reporter. We are your racing station, 102.5 and 106.3. The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in tomorrow for the Go Bowling at the Glen at 3 p.m. NASCAR on 102.5 and 106.3. The Game is presented by O'Charley's. I totally forgot to tease, got in the middle of a live read and forgot to tease, but our old producer, who has been gone for a total of 2 weeks, has joined us in studio today. Welcome back to the show, Nick Fraser, on the other side of the glass today. Welcome in.
Thank you very much.
And we have a huge day today when it comes to soccer in Music City. Nashville SC hosting Lionel Messi and Inter Miami for the League's Cup champion. And so we are going to do a full breakdown, having some technical issues here in the studio.
It's okay. The light does not work itself, Fraser, so you are on.
Okay. Ah, there we go. Yes.
There we go.
Yes.
Got to fix a bulb in the studio.
It's okay. Excellent. One midday guy goes to the other. Yes, this light does not work whatsoever, but you are live. And
okay.
Really quickly, too, happy birthday. Appreciate
Thank
you coming
happy
on.
Happy birthday,
Thank
Fraser.
You,
and
appreciate it.
We are not sponsored by the Krusty Krab, so, Newt, you got to behave yourself, man. Come on.
We will
now.
Be one day.
Oh, my goodness.
I love it.
But anyway, we're really pumped for tonight, and I think one thing I'm super stoked for is not getting misinformation prior to the game. I know last night when I was at the Sounds game, I kept getting all of these different notifications on Twitter, whether it was about Messi not playing or the ticket prices are going up or going down or whatever it is, and so it's going to be fun. But I think let's just start off here. I'm just kind of curious because, you know, I'm more of a hockey savant, you're more of a soccer guy, and
right.
So I kind of want to go into the realm of, all right, well, Messi's coming in town, and so he's perhaps the biggest name to ever come to Nashville in terms of sports. And so I think just go ahead and set the scene for us because, you know, he is a 36-year-old striker, and mm-hmm. So he is a very big name in sports, just won the World Cup. And so for you, how big is it that he is here in Nashville?
I mean, it's pretty incredible to see probably the greatest soccer player of all time come to small town country music USA, Nashville, Tennessee. I never in a million years would I ever have thought Lionel Messi would come to Nashville. Like, this is probably the coolest moment in soccer sports history in North America, not just Nashville, but North America itself.
I had the same thought process as well. I mean, I remember, again, and I brought this up when I was on with you earlier in the week, that, you know, I used to go to the games all the time when they were at Nissan Stadium, and just to see, you know, how they really caught on in that 2021 season and progressed to where they are now as a franchise. The fact that Lionel Messi, I would have never guessed 2 years ago from now that he would be coming and playing a game, not only him being a part of the MLS, but playing here in Nashville against Nashville SC. It's crazy because we're not even a year removed from him winning that World Cup. And to have probably the world's greatest sports superstar in town, I mean, it is paying off dividends. I mean, look at these ticket prices. People are paying thousands and thousands of dollars to go and just get a glimpse of this guy play soccer and what it's done for not only the MLS and not only for the hype around this team here locally. I just would have never seen this coming even a year ago from right now.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned ticket prices and wanting to see Messi now while he's a 36-year-old guy in the MLS. Like, some people might think that he's on the backside of his prime, but for him joining the MLS, it's like he's hit a new prime in some sort of degree. And for me, looking at it from a soccer perspective, I could definitely see Messi playing up till he's 40 in the MLS. I could see that definitely happening. But for that to happen, I would see him dropping more back into the midfield. He's kind of doing a free-roaming role now. With Inter Miami interchangeably in the midfield up top. So currently he's, you know, that number 10 that sits up top in the middle of the formation. So, I mean, that's where he's going to be playing the rest of the season and probably next year. And maybe that third year is where you'll start to see the transition phase into midfield from the top spot.
So I'm on a ticket website right now. I'm not going to name names. I almost did. Mm-hmm. But no free ads. Sorry about that. You can sponsor us. Either way, ticket prices have gone down a lot.
They have.
I'm looking at some of these. Amazing deal. Row 3 for the game. $339 each for tickets. And, I mean, you're talking about, you know, that being over $1,000 a couple days ago. So, obviously, you know, the market's saying, hey, you know, these are a bit too expensive. But I'm seeing $205, $209, $317 each. Even in the standing section, I'm seeing $168 now. Yeah. So, honestly, if you were considering going to this game and the ticket prices were scaring you away because you were going to have to basically put a down payment on a house to go and watch them play – ticket prices are going down, and I would say, honestly, if for a pair of tickets, $500, $600 to go see a historical game like this in this city with this player, I feel like it's kind of worth it at this point in time.
Yeah, I had about probably a handful of people direct message me via X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it now. They were like, so are the ticket prices dropping? I'm just like, you know, I'm kind of keeping an eye on it. I was at a friend of mine's moving to, you know, out west in Arizona, so I was at that. But I was, you know, looking on my phone, and I kept seeing ticket prices dropping $20 every hour, $30 the next hour. I'm like, okay, so ticket prices are definitely going to be dropping. So I ended up making the assumption. I said, probably around 10 a.m., 10:30, that's when you're going to see the ticket prices bottom out, and that's when you're going to want to snipe these tickets if you want to go at a cheaper cost.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've seen some last night, Junie, not naming names, but I've seen some that are like 360 or whatever it is, and I feel like that might be the best opportunity to get to go to the game right now. It might go lower every hour up until kick, so we'll see what it looks like. But I think scalpers, and more importantly, too, those houses that are right down the street from Geodis or the castle, they are all going to uptick that price. It's usually like, what, $20, like 30 bucks?
Yeah. I pass by them almost every other game, and it's like $10 to park in my front yard or $20 to park in my backyard.
Right.
I'm just like, okay, it's not a bad little gimme.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of easy money for these houses. So.
Oh, they're going to be charging like $60, $70, $80 a pop to park because people are going to do it. I mean, this – you know, this was a discussion on the station all week long. Like, is this the biggest athlete to ever come and play in Nashville? And I would say, if you're talking purely in the United States, I would say no. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking international, including the entire world, I would say hands down, absolutely, that there's never been a bigger sports phenom to ever play a game here in Music City. So, I mean, this is huge. And I want to get kind of into the game a little bit here.
Yeah.
About some matchups. You know, I got to give you props because when we were previewing their game against Monterey on Tuesday, you know, you took the under on the 2.5 over under on goal spread, and you said this is going to be a really big defensive matchup. When you look at these two teams and how they match up together, do you think this is going to be more of a high-scoring game, and which part of the field is really going to stand out, and which matchup in particular is going to stand out?
So, yes, this is going to be a completely different style matchup against Inter-Miami. I feel like it's going to be high-scoring with these two high-powered offenses. Obviously, Nashville SC and Inter-Miami both were the top two teams in the League's Cup this year that had the most scored goals. So I believe Inter-Miami is at 3.5 expected goals, and Nashville sees around 2.5. So, I mean, this is going to be a 3-2 type game, in my opinion. This is going to be where – and the matchup I'm going to get to is that you want to pay attention to the midfield, especially. You know, when you have older midfielders like Dax McCarty and Anibal Godoy, who are phenomenal at passing the ball and making sure that everything is kind of well-organized, as Gary Smith kind of reiterated in one of his post-match and pre-match press conferences, that you want to have the organization building out of the back end of the midfield. Inter-Miami kind of doesn't have that organization in the middle. It's kind of that free roll I was telling you guys about earlier with Lionel Messi. He kind of has that free-roaming role where he drops back in the middle and kind of dishes it out to Jordi Alba. And I'll tease this for the next segment about, you know, some tactics that Inter-Miami might, you know, try to use against Nashville that potentially Nashville might be ready for. And this could be one of those matchups where people are like, wow, so Inter-Miami is human. Like, Nashville SC is a team that really could beat them.
Yeah, because I feel like defensively we will get into all of this because, you know, I feel like they've got one of the best MLS defenders, if not the best one, in Walker Zimmerman. He's a reigning – I think he's reigning defensively, right? So mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he's someone that is always going to lead that back end very well. I'm also curious who they're going to put in net tonight too. I don't know if it's going to be Joe or if it's going to be Elliot. Mm-hmm. Elliot is from Paducah, by the way, so he is not far away from home whatsoever.
He's so a Kentucky boy.
That is a really cool sight to see that he is relatively local. And then one thing, too, that I want to tease as well, like you, Frazier, just so we can get more into this matchup, and please weigh in on our text line, 615-737-1025. But I've noticed how good of a passer Messi is himself, and so I kind of want to get into that more next as well, and also how effective he's really been in terms of goal scoring as well. He's been one crazy good guy. And before he even hopped over here to play in the MLS, just so everyone's aware and our listeners as well, he had 3 months off. He did not play soccer for 3 months and then signed in the MLS. And so it's going to be interesting to see how much, you know, fatigue he has or, you know, or anything that's like that, because ultimately he's not going to get subbed off. He's going to start the game. He's going to be someone to keep eyes on. That's why it's so expensive as it is. But I'm very curious to see how this all shapes up this evening, and you make a good case for why they will make them look human, and I'm excited to see that this evening.
Indeed.
I'm also looking forward to Shaq Moore and what can he do. And I know we always, whenever we bring up the defense, we always bring up Walker Zimmerman, but you know, when you have two guys back there on the defensive end, you know, the free-for-all and kind of the unorthodox, unorganized offensive motions and movement that Inter Miami like to get into, you know, what kind of factor can Shaq Moore maybe play in this matchup in disrupting the ball movement that they're trying to create for Inter Miami?
So the right back and left back, Shaq Moore, Daniel Lovitz, are going to be a huge factor in tonight's game. If they don't, you know, kind of stay home in their kind of quadrant of the field, this could get ugly quick. And meaning, you know, Lionel Messi, I'll get into it next segment, but Lionel Messi will rely on Jordi Alba a good bit tonight. And I'm going to tease it at the next segment. I really do not want to give much away.
All right. Well, coming up next, we're going to be talking more about the offensive end of things when it comes to Nashville SC versus Inter Miami and Lionel Messi tonight at Geodis Park. We will get into some of the offensive players for NSC that we think could be some big contributors. I know you have been known to call some goal scorers the night before, so we are going to get into that big day here in Nashville. You are listening to Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3. The game.
What has stood out to you about Nashville SC, the way that they played in order to get to this point where they're taking on Miami tomorrow in the final?
I mean, it's been impressive. They were struggling in MLS before this tournament kicked off. I think they had won one out of their six games before the tournament started. They had just lost back-to-back games to Philadelphia and Cincinnati, who are two of the better teams in the Eastern Conference in MLS, two of their rivals. They, in both those games, they had two players sent off with a red card. So just really, really struggling, really, really poor form. I don't think there were a ton of huge expectations for them. And just somehow in this tournament, everything's clicked. The whole team has played well. Hani Mukhtar hasn't scored nearly as much as he usually does, but he's still been creating chances. He's been assisting. And one of the big things is they finally have signed a striker. It's been kind of the thing that's been haunting them really since they came to MLS. They've swung and missed on a couple big strikers. They signed Sam Sturridge. He has 3 goals in his first 3 games. He's played really well. He's linked up really well with Hani Mukhtar. And he kind of, I mean, it's still early, but he looks like they finally got it right. And so I think his form has been huge. But yeah, I mean, he knocked up.
That was Ben Wright on Nashville SC's League Cup run. Welcome back into Riddle and the Reporter, Junior Riddle, Nick Keyser. Also, for last segment and this segment, we got our former producer, Nashville SC reporter Nick Frazier, in breaking down this huge matchup against Messi and Inter Miami. But before we get back into things, come hang out at Hard Rock Cafe Nashville on Broadway to watch the League Cup final tonight as the Boys in Gold take on Lionel Messi and Inter Miami at 8 p.m. Stop by for your chance to win some concert tickets from 102.5 The Game and some awesome prizes from Hard Rock, like Hard Rock gift cards, merch, and co-branded Lionel Messi Hard Rock merch. guests who show their tickets to the game or show up in their Messi gear get 15% off food, beverage, and Hard Rock Messi merch. This offer does not include alcohol. This promotion is valid today through Sunday, August 20th.
Wow, are you out of breath?
A little bit. That is a whole lot of information. Like, man. So listen, if you don't have tickets to the game, or even obviously if you do have tickets to the game, head over to Hard Rock. I know they're promoting this really awesome chicken sandwich in the name of Lionel Messi. I think they do
the Nashville some endorsement hot chickens
together. Okay. It is not hot chicken. It is just a regular, plain old chicken sandwich. And it has to do with Messi. So if you go there, wear some Messi gear. You might get some prizes. I think we're doing a Thomas Rhett ticket giveaway. So if you want to go see Thomas Rhett and have a chance to go do that,
all
here
right.
at 105 The Game, we will be doing ticket giveaways.
Insider knowledge with Junie Riddle.
Absolutely. So with all of that being said, I loved the breakdown there by Ben Wright from Broadway Sports Media and kind of talking about how, you know, it's been more of an unorthodox play of Nashville SC to get to this point. We haven't seen Hani Mokhtar be the goal scorer that he normally is. He's been more of the facilitator. But the new guy in town, Sam Surridge, has had 3 goals in his first 3 games.
Dude is lighting it up.
He's killing it. He's killing it. So, Frazier, in your opinion, watching this team, do you think they change things up? Do you kind of think they keep doing what they've been doing, bringing Surridge off the bench, you know, around the 50th, 60th minute, and getting that production from him later on?
Yeah, you know, we also had Ben Wright on the midday show yesterday with Caroline Willie and D-Mace, and I actually asked him the question of two questions of what's the update on Jacob Schaffelberg, and then after that question, I asked him, well, what about Sam Surridge? If Schaffelberg's not ready to go, is Sam Surridge going to start? Would you expect that, or would you just think Nashville City would keep continuing doing what they're doing and bring them on at halftime or something? And I was kind of leaning towards just sticking with what they were doing, and I had a feeling Ben would say that, so which is perfect. That leaves me a little bit more confidence that, you know, Gary Smith likes to roll with the hot hand, and, you know, Nick kind of teased to it earlier about which goalie is he going to go with, which keeper, and I believe it'll probably be Elliott. I mean, he's had 2 back-to-back shutouts, like, how can you not go with the hot hand there?
Now he's been really good.
Yeah, and as for Sam Surridge, they're going to probably go with him at halftime. Like, I would not see them, you know, do anything different. I mean, if they're going to go with a number 9 up there that, you know, is going to just kind of hold down the fort within, you know, the realm of possibility with Teal Bunbury and, you know, try to get the ball to feet and try to just hold it down. Like, as Ben reiterated yesterday, just hold it down up top, get as much out of them as you can, and then have fresh legs in the second half. That's kind of what it's going to come down to. And I mentioned last segment about the midfield, Anibal Godoy and Dax McCarty, with them being up there in age, their legs are not as fresh as a 19- or 18-year-old kid or a 24-year-old guy, you know, something like that. So that's going to be a big emphasis today. Do I think Sam Surridge scores today? Absolutely. I think this could be a game where Nashville SC fans are like, okay, we have a true number 9. This is a guy that will eventually go on to score more than 10 goals a season. And I believe before I was off producing this show with you guys, I mentioned to you about Sam Surridge before the League's Cup started. I said, if this guy can produce 8 to 9 goals coming in from Nottingham Forest, that is a productive year, like a very, very good productive year. Because right now, Hani Mukhtar leads the MLS in goals, I believe, at 13, which is
something like that.
Yeah, which is incredible. And so if Sam Surridge can, you know, go across all competitions and have 9 to 10 goals in half of a season, that is really, really good. That means Nashville SC spent the right amount of money on a number 9, and they have a lot of look towards the future.
And I think he was the perfect acquisition for this team.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Hani Mukhtar is not a natural goal scorer. He does it with his finesse and his speed and his ball-handling ability. But he's more of the facilitator. And I feel like with the addition of Sam Surridge in this offense, it kind of puts Hani in more of his natural position. And do you think that kind of helps this offense flourish a little bit more with Hani in that role rather than him kind of get Hani in open space, have him beat a guy in a one-on-one situation, and try and score from there and just play good defense?
Absolutely. It takes so much pressure off of Hani Mukhtar to finally play in a comfortable role on this offense. Now, you have Randall Leal, who is He was at training yesterday. I'm not sure if he'll be fit and ready to go for tonight's match, but he was at training yesterday. You have Jacob Schaufelberg, who was at training, and he looked pretty good, from according to Ben Wright yesterday from the midday show. So, you know, if Hani is able to play at that number 10 role, and let me reference to my Italian soccer knowledge, it's called a trequartista, which is a creative role in the Italian soccer. It's that number 10 role. It's always been known as that. So if Hani can play as that trequartista up top and dish out balls and eventually, you know, score a few here and there, that's what he's supposed to do. That's why Nashville brought him in. Yes, initially he was scoring a lot of goals because they relied on him. They didn't have a true number 9 to really help him out. Now that you have a guy like Sam Surridge where he can turn his back and feel confident, oh, yeah, let me get the ball to feet, turn, maybe dish the ball out to Schaufelberg, who's fast. And I mean fast, like
yes.
Crazy fast.
I think he's the second fastest guy in MLS.
Yes. So, like, he'll be able to go down the left flank or right flank and be able to dish the ball back in to Hani or whoever's on the other side of the ball, which would possibly be Randall when he gets back healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is Nashville SC at its peak right now. And they have the best opportunity to win the city its first ever championship.
Yeah, it's going to be phenomenal. And so one storyline I want to talk about, Frazier, that I think is very frustrating in some regards is the narrative behind what Miami's bringing in. Because obviously Miami was not a good team before they signed Messi whatsoever. They were bottom of the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
They've torn up the league's cup on purpose, I feel like. And this was the prime opportunity for them to rise out of the said barrel. And so I think for me, it's a matter of, I know that the media has even asked Gary Smith, you know, how do you guys feel about the odds being against you? And so for him, he doesn't really regard that. He just goes into, we always give ourselves a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So what's kind of the read that you've gotten, not just on Gary Smith, but on the entire team going into this matchup?
I mean, the team in general, they seem confident. And yesterday in the press conference, Hani Mukhtar was there. Anibal Godoy was there, and Gary Smith. So those were the three that were sitting at the podium, and they all talked about confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Confidence, believing in yourself, and sticking true to your guns. Like, not, they didn't say that exactly, but
right.
You know, sticking true to what got you here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, coming into the tournament, Nashville SC wasn't in the best form. They had two red cards, I believe, Shaq Moore and Teal Bunbury.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've caught this momentum, and they're starting to keep on keeping on with the momentum they have.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can continue doing that, that's what they're going to do. And I mentioned earlier, Gary Smith rolls with the hot hand. So if this whole team's hot, I mean, like I said, it's going to be incredible to watch tonight.
Yeah, it is. And out of the 6 games that Messi has played, just for context sake,
yep,
he has scored twice in 3 of the 6 games.
Mm-hmm.
He has an assist in every game except 2 of them, or 3 of them, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And he has completed about 80% of his passes, and he just came off of an 86% passing night against Philly. And so I'm interested to see what he does. So in terms of maybe his explosiveness and the finesse that you talked about, what do you expect out of him at the age that he is? But more importantly, how can he make those around him better? Just kind of highlight that for us.
Yeah, you know, with this Inter-Miami team, it was absolutely in shambles before Messi got here.
Oh, my gosh.
When you sign a guy like Sergio Busquets, who's a number 5, and then, you know, a guy like Jordi Alba, who is just phenomenal at left back. And so this is a good spot where I can tell you guys about what they did at Barcelona with Tata Martino, who was there with Messi back at Barcelona, and also the time during 2013 when Luis Enrique was there.
Mm-hmm.
Messi would always be able to receive the ball to feet in the midfield, and then once, you know, once he was able to find his feet, turn, whatever, he would dish it back out to the left side of the flank where Jordi Alba was. So then when that was the case, Jordi Alba would take it to the byline at the very back and then dish it to the top of the box, and Messi would finish in the back of the net. That was like the cream of the crop. That was their bread and butter play, and I would not be surprised if you see that tonight.
Probably not, yeah.
So for me, the big question is, you know, Nashville SC was red hot, I'm sorry, to kick off the MLS season.
Mm-hmm.
They went through that drought right before this tournament in season. And now, because of how hot they have gotten in this tournament, do you think this carries over into the second half of the MLS season, and where they are and when they're fully healthy and have everybody back from the red card situation, injuries with Leal and Schaufelberg when they're 100%,
mm-hmm,
does this team need to be in the conversation for favors for the MLS Cup?
I mean, you have to. They're in the top 4. Now, after the League's Cup is over with, they got a bit of a task. I mean, they rescheduled their game that was scheduled for August 20th tomorrow to October 14th. I believe against DC United. It was a home game initially. But, you know, this has to at least give them the extra confidence going into the second half of the season saying, hey, this is our squad. We have the guys to win it all. We've won, if that is the case tonight, they have won a championship. I'm not going to, you know, be premature about it, but if they do win a championship tonight, it will help them leapfrog into the second half of the season with confidence, more confidence than they have today. And with that being said, they will have a tough task the first three games back. No Shaq Moore. He had an immediate red card. And then you have Teal Bunbury, who got a yellow card to a red card. So that will be a little bit of a task, but that's where you might see Sam Surge start in the second half in a few games.
All in all, this is huge for the city of Nashville. This is huge for Nashville SC. When you're talking about an MLS team, and the MLS has always been looked upon as one of the weakest leagues worldwide, as we've seen over the last couple of years, as this league has grown, in particular Nashville SC being an expansion team, you know, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they are in this spot with the players that they have going up against who could argue the greatest soccer player of all time, who would have guessed that Nashville and their soccer team would be in this program? So, Frazier, thank you for coming on and sharing all of your insight with Nashville SC. I know you're going to thoroughly enjoy being up there in the press box covering the game. Follow him, NickFrazier23, on Twitter for all the updates that he is going to give, because he surely gives some good ones. And I will say this. I am going to watch the game, and I'm going to purchase the package to watch the game tonight. So for all the fans that are out there saying that I need to watch, I will watch. But before we go, join 102.5 The Game and Robbie and Rex are broadcasting from 6 to 9 on Monday for a Dunkin' Grand opening out at 206 Indian Lake Boulevard in Hendersonville. Come out for coffee, food, and great opportunities to win prizes. I will be out there as well, so you will not want to miss that. Coming up next, me and Keezer are going to continue our NFC-AFC divisional breakdowns. We are going to do the NFC and AFC North today. You are listening to Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.